Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. I know this is not the normal introduction that you're used to, but I did want to get ahead of this before we recorded our next show. As you know, we record our show over the weekends, and then we release usually on a Wednesday. And I know we're a couple of days late getting this out. However, there's been a major piece of breaking news that I'm sure you've seen all over the internet, and that news affects Disney Parks, and it's directly related to the opening of Star Wars Land, or Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, whatever they're calling it nowadays. It's Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. But the breaking piece of news was that Disney has announced on their Parks panel, they've announced on all of their major websites, and I mean, it was all over the internet. So in case you didn't see it, go log on to the internet because it is all over. And that major piece of breaking news is that in both coasts, on both coasts and Disney parks, Disney is now going to be enforcing a extra large stroller ban. Now, this has been a ban that's been in place for a while. Disney has been really lax about enforcing it. They're also going to start enforcing regulations on smoking. Specifically, all Disney parks and Disney's Wild World of Sports in Orlando are going to become smoke-free. Now, over the years, they've moved and eliminated smoking sections, and I believe that the last real smoking section in Disneyland was located in Frontierland along the Big Thunder Trail edge. Now, if you know anything about Disneyland and the Big Thunder Trail, you'll know that that location is directly across from the entrance to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And what Disney is saying, that there really wasn't a place for them to relocate this smoking area. There's no dead space in the park. I believe they eliminated the one over by Autopia, that was between Autopia and Matterhorn. And they're also eliminating the smoking sections in California Adventure, and they're eliminating smoking sections in Downtown Disney. So they haven't really offered anything in terms of what to do if you're a smoker. We just know that they're getting rid of them, and I'm sure more information is going to be coming out. So really quickly, I just wanted to go over this new information with you because it did just come out yesterday, which was the 28th of March, and so now the internet has been kind of reacting to it. So if you want to find out more information, please go to our website, and we have a whole story up there so you can get all of the latest information. Again, that's thevacationlandpodcast.com. Really quickly, the strollers that are going to be banned beginning May 1st are going to be, can be no larger than 31 inches wide and 52 inches long. That's huge. That's a shuttle bus. So smoking areas beginning May 1st will also no longer be present inside Walt Disney World. They're going to be eliminating all of those. And this is all from the Disney Parks blog. So head on over there. Head on over to the vacationlandpodcast.com. Just wanted to get in on this because we won't, of course, we record every other week. We won't be getting in on this to discuss it for another week or so. Enjoy the show.
The Vacationland Theme Park Podcast is brought to you by Magical Vacation Planner by Karis for help planning your next vacation getaway for any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney in Aulani, Universal Studios Orlando, and now Hollywood, and Royal Caribbean, Princess, Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Karis on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/Karis, C-A-R-I-S-S dot Milano, M-I-L-A-N-O. Coming up this week on the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, Run for Fun? Universal Studios adds a second date to its Universal 5K. Tickets go on sale for a pop-up event at Downtown Disney. And Universal Studios Hollywood reveals details on its Jurassic World attraction. Plus, we'll take a look at some of the offerings at this year's DCA Food and Wine Festival. And Diane is here for a road trip segment to talk about her trip to Solvang, California. Plus, which original podcaster are we saying goodbye to this week? From an undisclosed location near the Pacific Ocean, this is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, episode number 31 for the week of March 25th, 2019. The Vacationland Theme Park Podcast is a podcast celebrated to all things Southern California theme parks, brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. And this week, I am joined by associate producer Brandis Trotman. Hello, Brandis.
Good morning, or afternoon, whenever you're listening.
Knott's Berry Farm reporter and permanent John Strotman. Hey, John.
Hello.
And of course, singer, actor, director, and our road trip reporter, Diane Hobday. Hello, Diane.
Good morning.
So hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. I'm trying something new with the introductions this week, and not all of it made it into the script, so I had to do a lot of that from memory. Enjoy. I just want to welcome everybody back. I want to mention one thing really quickly. I know we have not done our book giveaway yet. Our two books, Jungle Skipper Stories and More Skipper Stories, or Jungle Skipper Stories 2, whatever that was, the David Marley book. So we're giving two of those books away, and we have not done that. So I want to give everybody two more weeks. I'm going to post something on our Instagram. I'm going to post something on our Facebook page. Make sure to go like the posts, screenshot, repost, tag the at the Vacationland, so at VL Podcast. And so we're going to give you two more weeks to enter. On our next show is when we're going to put everybody's name into the number, random number generator, and we're going to do our giveaway on our next show. So that's the deal with that.
Will we be live streaming it?
We can live stream it. Yeah, absolutely. We can live stream it. So we'll
just making sure if I should wear makeup or not.
Yeah. You know what? I'll wear makeup if that makes anybody feel better. John, are you in? Come on.
Sure. Yeah. What the heck? I
mean, you're going to wear makeup?
No, I'm not really going to wear makeup.
Put a little blush on him.
So our studio is located in a theater building. So we can totally make this happen.
I'll wear glitter.
I'm just saying. No, hey.
Nice.
No.
No glitter.
You know what they say about glitter.
What?
I'll tell you later because I can't repeat it.
Okay.
I just want to say before we jump in, just because something just popped up on my Facebook.
Yeah.
Saturday, March 30th, which is the pass holder early entry for Knott's Berry Farm, is also the unofficial pinup day. This is not Knott's Berry Farm sponsored, but anybody who enjoys dressing for pinup, there is a group that are going to be going to Knott's Berry Farm.
So truth be told, I was debating whether or not. So again, if you haven't heard, I think we posted something about it on our Facebook page. Saturday the 30th is the official pass holder early entry preview for the Boysenberry Festival, which Brandy and John and I will be going to in April and reporting to you back on that. But in case you didn't know, the 30th of March, if you have an annual pass for Knott's Berry Farm, I believe you get to get in like an hour early, right?
Yes.
So yeah, so Knott's Berry Farm normally opens at 10 and you get to get in at 9 and start Boysenberry festivaling to your heart's content for that hour. They have the taste cards. The taste cards are $35 each. And you get 8 samples of stuff, and they've really increased the offerings.
14 offerings, and the salmon is included in that.
Yeah. So if you want more information, we totally covered that completely on our last show. So go back and listen to our last show if you want to know more about the Knott's Berry Farm Boysenberry Festival and what they're offering there. Now, that being said, I was debating on whether or not to go to that. If Pinup Day is anything like Dapper Day at Disneyland, it is going to be a zoo. And so I think I'm going to respectfully decline the invitation to join.
Well, no, but that's what makes
that day.
That's what makes early entry with the pass holders so great, is you show up there and you get to go on all of the rides before anyone else. Like, you're literally walking onto the ride, walking off and walking onto the next ride. And then they start letting people in after the
National Anthem.
Thank you. National Anthem. And then when that happens, then you start hitting all the food and stuff, because everyone else is now running for
that
the rides.
That's a strategy.
So by noon is when we leave, because that's when the lines start happening for us. And that's when we're like, okay, we're done.
We can go now.
So if you're a pass holder, that's how we do it. And it works really well for us.
That's a great tip. That is why we're here. Because we are, again, theme park.
I usually split from the family and like go.
Well, yeah, he goes on rides we don't like. So he usually goes and jumps on the ones like Ghost Rider and Silver Bullet, and while I take the boys on the kid rides, and then we meet back up and, you know, get something to eat or do, you know, some sightseeing, and then it gets crowded. Awesome. And we're like, we're out of here.
Awesome.
Which is also when it gets hot.
So if you enjoyed dressing up and then spilling boysenberry sauce on your retro dresses.
And boysenberry wine.
Head on out. The weather is supposed to be really nice next week, and it's still kind of, we're still kind of transitioning out of winter. I mean, what we refer to as winter here in Southern California. So we still have a couple of, you know, days that are rainy and cloudy and
cold. There's another storm on its way.
Yeah, there's another storm on its way. Probably about the time that this podcast is going to get released. It's going to be.
Probably. People are listening to it and we're like, it's beautiful out.
Yeah, we release on Wednesdays and it's probably going to be here by Wednesday. So, we'll have to see how the weather holds out, and I hope it does. So, all right. Well, thank you for that tip. I'm glad that that came by while we were recording. I did want to make a mention of one thing. In the intro, I mentioned that we are going to be saying goodbye to a podcaster, and I want to take a moment and I want to thank Erin Owens for all the contributions that she's made to this really expensive hobby that I have. Erin was one of the original people that signed up. She's not dead. She's just moving. I just want to make that clear. Sorry, it sounded like I was giving her obituary. Erin got a great job. She was working here down in the business down here in Southern California. She got a great job offer, is going to be moving out of state, which makes the commute to do the podcast even worse than it already was for her.
Just a bit.
Just a little bit. So
she can't just jump on a plane every Sunday?
It's every other Sunday. So I'm just saying she's not even trying. But, Erin did some great photography for us. She jumped in on the podcast whenever we needed her to. She would have loved to have been here more, but her work schedule was crazy. And so she's got a really great opportunity. She's moving out of state, and, we even asked her if she was going to be joining us here today to say goodbye herself, but, she's packing, and she got, I think, like a week and a half notice that she got the job, and had to be, relocating out of state in a week and a half, and she's in like 8 days or eight or 9 days. And so she's, just consumed with that, but
she's busy.
Yeah, she's busy. She's busy. So she wanted to be here. She wished she could be here, but, I'm saying goodbye on her behalf. So Erin, thank you very much. We wish you the best, and we'll make another mention of it, at the end of the show. So that being said, let's get into it. We got a lot going on today. It is now time for Park Hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour.
Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A.
Park Hopping is our news segment. We forgot to mention that last week. Park Hopping is our news segment. John's our news reader. So, John, what is story number one?
Story number one, Universal Studios Hollywood adds second date, May 12th, to first ever running Universal 5K.
And in the future, we don't need horses. We have motorized carriages called automobiles.
If everybody's got one of these auto, what's it? Does anybody walk or run anymore?
Of course we run, but for recreation, for fun.
Run for fun? What the hell kind of fun is that?
Big stuff here. Okay, Universal Studios Hollywood adds an additional second date to the first ever running Universal 5K Minion Run as popular event sells out. Event dates are Saturday, May 11th and Sunday, May 12th. Universal Studios Hollywood has added a second day to its popular running Universal 5K Minion Run due to registration having sold out on Saturday, May 11th, offering fitness buffs, runners, and walkers alike another chance to partake in the fun on Sunday, May 12th. The inaugural Minion Run, featuring Illumination's mischievous minions from the popular Despicable Me Minion Mayhem ride cheering from the sidelines, invites participants ages 5 and older of all experience levels to wind their way around Universal Studios Hollywood and through parts of Universal Studios' historic backlot, made famous in more than 8,000 movies and television shows. The Minion Run will give participants an unprecedented insider's view to the world-renowned movie and television production lot. real quick, that would be really fun. Like if you're walking, I mean, if you're running past it, that's still cool. But if you're walking and just kind of, you know.
I was thinking this whole thing sounded fun until it said Minions.
Why?
What is wrong with Minions?
Yeah.
I was thinking this whole thing sounded fun until they said running.
What about Dave? You got Dave cheering you on? Or is it Bob? Dave? Bob?
No, it's because, I'm sorry, Facebook baby boomers have ruined Minions for me.
Why? Oh, from all the like memes?
They post these memes of like Dave in bondage gear saying, what? Don't like what I post, cupcake, keep on scrolling. And it's just like, why, Grandpa?
I've never seen that, but that's
oh my gosh,
hilarious.
I will show it
what
to you.
What website are you going to?
Yeah,
it's
right.
Facebook. It's Facebook. It's there's so many baby boomers on Facebook that just love Minions. And people could put whatever they want on these Minions pictures. And these, like I said, these Minions dressed in bondage and stuff.
But it's not like good. It's not like fun, good Minions. It's like really terrible, like racist.
I'm going to find some. Let's move on with the story and I will find some to show you. And then maybe when this drops, I will post it in the comment section.
To be fair, just don't do it over the Wi-Fi because, you know, they can track that stuff. So.
It's just Facebook.
Okay. Starting at Universal Studios Hollywood's iconic front gates, participants will pass through some of the theme park's immersive areas and attractions before winding their way along the historic backlot and into the magical world of movie making as they head towards the finish line at CityWalk's Five Towers outdoor concert stage. Highlights along the way include the Psycho House, the eerie War of the Worlds set, and the colorful Whoville backdrop from Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Along the 3.1-mile course, participants will be entertained by some of their favorite Universal Studios Hollywood characters, including the Minions. You know what would be cool, too, is if, like, the Walking Dead zombies, like, ran with you.
Zombie Run.
Actually, Zombie Run is an app to help you run faster.
Right.
The program will begin at 6 a.m. At 7:30 a.m. as well, with an awards and closing ceremony in which all participants will receive a commemorative limited edition Minion medallion that features a cheering Minion running through the first finish line holding two bananas.
Yes.
So space is limited, and for more information about the standard VIP and fan packages, visit www.runninguniversal.com.
Wow.
Sweet.
So I was going to ask you guys what you thought of this, but I mean, obviously it sounds like fun to some of us here not named Chris Ramirez. My question is, do they do like a universal backlot 5K stroll? Like, can I?
Well, you can walk. You don't have to run. The thing is, a lot of people walk it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That might be. I mean, if I can like, I mean, it'll take me like 3
at your own pace, man.
So I just want to say, and I will post these if people want to see, I Googled, just Google Minion memes. And first one to pop up is, the one with the goggles, Dave? It's Dave in a skirt and a bra, and it says, I've been hiding from exercise. I'm in the fitness protection program. So why is this Minion in a skirt and a bra?
Is it
the little grass skirt and coconut bra?
Yeah, because no. That was in the...
Because that's in the movie.
Yeah. No, not even. So then there's this other one, and it's the one-eyed Minion, and he says, I hate when people ask me what happened to the sweet old you. Well, bad word. B-word, like, you killed it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't find any of that. Yeah, I don't get any of that. The Minions are, I mean, they're cute. They've gotten less cute every movie release that they've done, but.
They're a bit played.
Yeah.
But Dan, and now Google is asking me if I want to save my favorite memes. No, thank you, Google.
Look what you started.
But yeah, you could walk the
back to the story. Thank you, John.
Yeah. And I think that would be actually pretty cool. Like, because you could just kind of at your own pace, kind of.
Well, yeah. And you can take photo pictures. Ops. I was just going to say photo ops would be great. And I think that, you know, the average person walks 3 miles per hour. So it's only going to take you an hour if you choose to walk it.
Yeah.
So go 3 miles. That's a lot. No, it's not that bad.
Is that what 5K?
I could do it.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Like, it's
3.1 miles. 3.1
miles.
Okay. Yeah. So you said running in the top of that story. I just stopped listening.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Cool. I can just kind of sit back and. Tune this one out. But thank you, John.
That was for sure.
That was a great read. Okay. So, and speaking of photo ops, let's go to our next story, John. What's going on at Downtown Disney?
Well, the tickets for Pop-Up Disney exhibit at Downtown Disney are on sale now. Pop-Up Disney. I was trying to do like Pop-Up Video.
Okay. I'm so glad
I remember that.
Like, why did you read it that way?
I know. It was weird.
It's totally going to be the audio drop before this.
The pop-up part worked, but the Disney part did not go in. But anyway, okay. A Mickey Celebration will open on April 26, 2019 in Disneyland's Resort's Downtown Disney District. And tickets are now on sale for this new experience celebrating 90 years of Mickey Mouse. Tickets were not yet available when the experience was first announced in the middle of February 2019. Nor was an opening date, but both arrived on March 21st. Tickets for the experience start at $30 and include 5 hours of complimentary parking at the Downtown Disney District lot. This limited-time pop-up is packed with immensely themed rooms inspired by all things Mickey Mouse. The Instagram-worthy themed rooms include an homage to Plane Crazy from 1928 and a Mickey at Disneyland room, where guests can pose inside an 8-foot Mickey balloon. Oh, that's interesting. As a special touch, over a dozen hidden minis can be found throughout the entire experience. After finishing the experience, guests can stop in the pop-up Disney shop and browse artist collections, apparel, and accessories, including spirit jerseys, ball caps, sparkle keychains, sparkle cinch sacks? Is that right?
They're like backpacks. They're like the little string backpacks that you...
Okay. Okay.
Oh, those things that really kill your shoulders?
Yeah, that would like dig in. So,
it's like when you're carrying the groceries and they're too heavy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you hit it on your wrist.
Dig it in. By the way, you know, there's a gift shop. Of course there is.
Yeah, right? Spend money now. Okay. There's also tumblers, popcorn, and buckets, and more. Guests can also show their pop-up Disney admission ticket to purchase special treats from Marceline's,
I'll save you the confectionery.
Thank you. Like Mickey Mouse shaped fudge on a stick and metallic Mickey cake pops. Tickets to pop-up Disney must be purchased online and in advance. To learn more and to purchase your tickets to the experience, visit Disneyland.com. So yeah.
All right. Sorry. I was busy Instagramming. I talked to Karen about this, and I wanted her to come in today because I know she's got a lot of feelings about this, as Karen usually does. But what do you guys think about this? So this is another one of those things like the Museum of Ice Cream or like these other like Instagram spots that have become a really big trend in the last few years. And this is just another one of those. And I think I have my opinion, but I don't know what you guys think about this. Does anybody have any feelings about this one way or the other?
Can you use it to validate for parking?
Yeah, you get 5 hours free.
Oh, well, then there you go.
Get 5 hours.
Might be fun.
You guys get, but it's $35. It's like $35
to take photos.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to go see a musical next week at a college that's supposed to be really good for $25.
Exactly.
And so, like, I've heard one of the things that I always hear about these pop-up events is that it's always a disappointment. It never looks as good in person. Like, it looks great on your pictures, but I mean, you guys tell me, is this whole Instagram thing like, you know, pop-up events, you know?
Well, it depends on how into Instagram you are.
Is it played out? Is it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know because I've never gone. My daughter was a huge Hello Kitty fan when she was a teenager, which, you know, that's when it's normal to be a Hello Kitty fan, people. Sorry, just kidding. If you love Hello Kitty and you're over 18,
don't tell Karen that. She'll fight you.
That was a burn.
Yeah.
My ex-husband's new wife. Sorry, that just made me really laugh. So wait, so they had this pop-up.
Tell us more.
They had a pop-up Hello Kitty boutique, and I was gonna go to get her something. Chris snorted, and we're not going to edit it out.
We're not going to.
He's muted.
It's fine. No, it came through.
So I was going to go to this pop-up Hello Kitty event to get my daughter something, and the lines were hours long. So I didn't go, and I've never been interested in a pop-up event since then, because what is the point of standing in a line for 2 hours to get a cookie of Hello Kitty to take a picture of?
And you eat it in 3 minutes.
Like, I mean, really,
like, is it made with gold dust? No.
Like, really, unless you've got, like, you know, unless you're either really into, like, pictures of yourself with giant plastic. The only one that, I was looking through the pictures of this, the only one that looked really interesting was the Mickey balloon. And it was, like, I don't know if it's going to be, like, one of those, like, they just have renderings. They don't have actual pictures of these things. So, number one, like, I feel like this is just, like, Disney, like, that wants this is free advertising for Disney, basically, right? And so, I've heard that when you go there, things are never as look as good in person. They look fine in pictures, but like unless you've got, you know.
Sounds like online dating.
Yeah, right. 7,000, unless you've got like 10,000 followers on Instagram, like, I mean, or you're just really into taking pictures of yourself. Like, yeah, I can see if it was maybe, well, nice, because Karen sent me this story originally, and when it was first announced, and I was like, oh, that sounds fun. Like, we should go do a vlog there. And then she showed me the price, and I was like, nope, I'm good. Like, this was, you know, if it was like 10 bucks to get in, all right. $10 to get in isn't pretty reasonable. But apparently, and Karen's gone to a couple of these, like the ones in Hollywood and the ones that are just kind of spread out around Southern California. Like, these are really expensive to get into. And some of them have hours-long lines to get into. I don't get it. It's not for me. But
well, I know, lot of the pop-ups are actually, you have to choose a time to go. Yeah. And then they have a time limit for you to be there.
Right.
So you have to pick not only what day you want to go, but what hour time frame you want to go.
Yeah.
So that kind of would limit the amount of people there. So maybe it might.
But it also limits your fun.
It does. Yes. But I think to go through a walkthrough thing, it shouldn't take 4 hours.
Yeah. If it limits
I think maybe an hour to 2 hours.
I don't know. Have you ever seen like 20-somethings taking selfies of themselves?
I was just going to say, if you're an Instagram influencer, it's going to take you like a lot longer.
But how many
than
photo
that.
Ops are there? I've only read there were about 5, right?
Yeah. It sounds like there's like, well, you guys know where this is. Like, I don't know if the story said where exactly this is. This is located in the old ESPN zone that they closed for the hotel that's never getting built now.
Right.
So they have decided that they need to do something with those buildings because they closed the AMC Theater, which is relocated across the street to Garden Walk in Anaheim, across Harbor Boulevard. They closed the Rainforest Cafe, which Rainforest Cafe desperately, desperately wants back in on that action. And then this was ESPN Zone, which in my opinion, it was time for the ESPN Zone to go anyway, because it was really sad walking up to that like half closed arcade that they had. But I don't know if this is the answer. Like the last time I was at Disneyland, everything still said ESPN Zone, and it still had that, you know.
I was just there a couple days ago.
Yeah. And yeah. Those relief, you know, plaster reliefs of athletes are still up there. Now, granted, a lot of these events take place outside of the Disney realm in reappropriated like warehouses and buildings. But if they're trying to build this brand going in, I don't know. This is just, seems weird. It seems weird to me. And it seems like Disney is, you know, they're riding this wave about a year or two or so too late, because this was really popular about a year ago, this whole, you know, experience thing. So,
yeah.
Anybody else?
I was just thinking, why would Disney do a pop-up anything when Disneyland is right there? It would make more sense if they did it outside of Orange County.
And when I first read it, I thought that it was going to be like maybe downtown, or maybe, you know, because they're doing all this stuff for Mickey's 90th birthday, because they don't want the copyright to expire. But
Mickey is so old, he's probably sharing Minion memes.
I don't think he goes outside the brand.
Yeah, that's...
Minion memes with Mickey, made to look like Mickey Mouse.
You spend too much time on Facebook.
As of this recording, the Fox deal is closed. So technically Universal has to pay Disney like royalty rights to use The Simpsons. So
No. Simpsons Land at Universal might go away.
It might
move to Disneyland.
I don't think so.
I really don't think so, guys.
That was a good read. That was a good read. So okay, yeah, I think it's dumb. I'm just gonna come out and say it. I think it's dumb. But there will be people out there that are gonna do it. You're gonna see this thing. I guarantee you. If you follow any kind of like Instagrammers or YouTubers or vloggers or bloggers, that are not us, I guarantee you the really popular ones. You are going to see this everywhere on the internet.
Well, sure, because their fan base is nationwide.
Right. And so they're going to fly people out there. They're going to invite them out, you know, to do it for free. And they're going to be beating this drum as loud as they can. So if Disney wants to, if you're listening, would like to invite us to a media event, I would be happy to go and take
We will edit it all out. We will retract this episode.
So, all right. Thank you, John. Let's move on to our final story. We get some news coming out of the lower lot at Universal Studios.
Details for Jurassic World, the ride unveiled.
Time, the ever-flowing river. Come with us now to a time before man. when the river flowed through a newborn world, and giants walked the earth. Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Jurassic World, the ride, will immerse guests into newly themed environments and breathe new life into dimensional animatronic dinosaurs, including some all-new fan favorites featured in the Jurassic World films from Universal Pictures and Amblin Entertainment. The ambitious ride is being re-engaged under the direction of award-winning and inspired minds at Universal Creative, the Academy Award-winning special effects visionaries at Industrial Light and Magic, ILM, a division of Lucasfilm LTD. The brand stewards at Universal Pictures and acclaimed filmmaker Steven Spielberg, Colin Trevorrow, right? Sort of?
Trevorrow? I don't think I've
ever... Trevorrow. Let's go with Trevorrow. Colin Trevorrow. Sorry, Colin.
I mean, if he cares how it's pronounced, he could contact us and we'll do a retraction.
Yeah. And Frank Marshall. The state of the art...
Sure you pronounce that right?
Frank Marshall. Now, Frank Marshall, the state-of-the-art attraction will debut an original storyline that takes place within the theme park as depicted in Jurassic World. It will feature additional new dinosaurs from the film, lush scenic designs, and groundbreaking technology that has yet to be experienced within a theme park. Wow. All right. Jurassic World, the ride, will be dramatically enhanced, welcoming guests to a reimagined space reflective on the Jurassic World films. A fresh new entry statement, stonework, landscaping, and a contemporary redesign of the iconic pillars illuminated with billowing flames will support a prominent Jurassic World marquee logo. Engaging queue-line videos featuring facts and information about the dinosaurs with the ride set the tone for the adventures ahead, as guests learn more about these imposing prehistoric inhabitants that first roamed the Earth more than 65 million years ago. Once aboard specially designed rafts, guests will navigate the lush environments of dense vegetation, traversing new areas and towering dinosaur meanderings just as at arm's length away from predatory velociraptors and Dilophosaurus.
Yeah, it's...
Okay.
I think Dilophosaurus, they're the ones that the ones that spit.
Okay.
The one that he'd Newman from.
Sorry. Yeah. Begin to wreak havoc.
He deserved it.
He did.
Stick.
I love that.
Stick. You like a stick? Go on, get it. And no wonder you're extinct. I'm gonna run you over when I come back down.
Is it sad that he's my favorite character in the whole movie?
He's such a stereotype. Yeah. Like, we all know him.
I don't know.
We got Dotson here. We've got Dotson. Nobody cares. All right.
In addition, a new interactive dino play area will incorporate educational components within an inspired space where children of all ages can partake in excavations and investigative giant dinosaur fossils. That's pretty cool. Excavating, you know, the sand and all that.
Yeah, because I think that was that kind of play area. I think they're reimagining that, which is great. But also, I'm part of a Facebook group of people from Walt Disney World and Walt Disney World at Animal Kingdom. There's something similar to that. There's a dig site over near the dinosaur ride. And they're like, what genius thought it was a good idea to build a sand trap at, you know, Disney World? The kids just come covered in sand the day at the beach.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have kids, so it's not my problem, but I'm just saying.
With so much to see and to do at Universal Studios Hollywood, the all-new 2019 season pass invites guests to experience the fun throughout the year for $149 when purchased online. Blackout dates and restrictions apply. Visit www.universalstudioshollywood.com for more details.
All right. So, I mean, we've been waiting on this for a while. I'm excited for you guys. Are you excited for this?
Yeah, sounds really cool. I mean, it's going to be addition to the old ride was cool. I mean, it's going to be it's got to be better, right?
Why
not?
It was just my favorite ride at Universal.
I just thought of something, you guys. You know what it didn't announce?
What? The date?
Well, no.
Did I miss the date?
I was thinking the same thing. Well, did I miss the date?
No, I don't think the date was in there, but it it did not announce Karen's desired Chris Pratt animatronic.
Oh, it'll be there for sure.
I would like a Chris Pratt, just Chris Pratt.
Just delivered to your front door.
Please.
Can we get him
Merry
on
Christmas.
Amazon Prime. Chris Pratt delivery.
Chris Pratt is listening.
Yes, Mr. Pratt, you are listening. My address is.
He's one of our like 300 listeners. Great.
Yeah, but you don't know. He could be one of them.
He could be, yeah. So, you know, I think this is cool. Although it sounds to me, I mean, I'm hoping that they change a lot of it. And I'm really excited that they gave these new details, but it sounds a lot like they're not going to change much of the infrastructure because, you know, it's the same, you know, you go through the same river, right? I'm sure they're going to reskin and re-add new dinosaurs. And it seems like you're still going to go past that raptor paddock, you know, as you come around the corner where the raft is. So when I was reading that story and I was getting it ready, I'm like, nothing about the structure of the ride sounds differently. Now, it also, did it talk about the ending? Did it talk about what happens?
No.
That's the one thing. If they don't keep that, it's all ruined.
Yeah. So they didn't talk about what happens once you leave that park river, you know, once you start the lift hill, they didn't talk about anything that's going to happen in there. And I'm sure that's.
They want to keep it under wraps. Under wraps. Sure.
Yeah. They're going to keep it a secret. They want to keep it, you know, that's going to be a new thing that's going to happen and they want it to be a surprise. But, you know, again, I'm excited about it. I'm hoping it's going to be cool.
Maybe they replace the T-Rex with Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt pops out of the ceiling at you.
Oh, they might. What if they make the ride vehicles those little bubble things?
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
That sounds really claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be. Yeah,
and you couldn't get sprayed with any water or.
No, I'm okay with that.
Okay with that.
Right. Yeah, I don't like the. Bigfoot Rapids is one of my favorite rides, but I really do dislike the getting wet with dirty water.
Yeah, just peel it. We refer to it as peeling the water off.
And it smells and yeah. And yeah. If it's hot, like, okay, that felt great for a minute. And now it's like humid in my own clothes.
Like, and to be honest with you, like, I'm actually more excited about the reimagining of Bigfoot Rapids with Calico River Run.
Yeah,
for sure.
Same.
Like, I'm really excited to see, like, if Knott's, you know, comes through on their promises.
But I think that also has to do with how long it's been closed too versus Jurassic Park.
Well, I mean, well,
it's
that's
only
true.
Been closed a year and a half, whereas Bigfoot's been closed for how many years? Six, seven?
Well, no, it was still open.
No, Bigfoot's only been closed for a few months.
No.
It just
feels like it's gone.
You obviously
forever.
Do not listen to your own podcast.
I mean,
am I supposed to?
I'm just kidding.
No, it's going to open in June. It's going to open in June, and they will
been
have
closed forever.
So here's,
no, it's been open.
Here's what Knott's does whenever there's a new ride. So pass holders that don't know this, listen up. Those of you considering getting a pass. So when Bigfoot opens, what's going to happen is they're going to have a pass holder early entry that doesn't advertise it. Maybe it's going to be for Memorial Day or something. And when you show up, they're going to open it up just to the pass holders.
Okay, so like a soft opening.
But it's not advertised. Then they're going to have an opening for pass holders that's announced.
Got it.
So you got it. When you know a ride's going to open, a new ride or a restructured ride, you got to start going there. For Father's Day, when they added the three new rides to Camp Snoopy, for Father's Day, we went to get pictures taken of the boys in the Old West stuff. And so we couldn't tell John that we went there. And when we get there, he was so excited to see these new rides open. When we get there for pass holder early entry to also get our pictures, they let us all get on the brand new rides.
Oh,
and
very cool.
I had to keep the boys quiet for a month that we had ridden it without Daddy.
Yeah, it was weird. I was like all excited and they were like, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
And I will say this about the fact that you, I mean, that first of all, that speaks to the state of Bigfoot Rapids that Diane thinks has been closed for 6 years.
Diane is sheltered, apparently.
Or it just speaks to the state of Diane. I don't know. but it's been, we've talked about it on the show before, how that ride just, after they turned off the waterfalls and after they, you know, it was a concrete trough that flew past some dead grass at that point. You know, it wasn't that fun ride.
With the occasional roar.
Right. And then you go to that dark tunnel and then you're like, oh, hey, it's you know, Western Avenue in the parking lot across the street, you know.
Yeah, and then when you're going up, the
you see all the trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really hoping that they are going, it's going to live up to this expectation that I now have in my mind for the Knott's Berry Farm one. I know the Universal one's going to be fun. It's just a fun ride anyway. I mean, I should know this because when we went to Universal to say goodbye to Jurassic Park, which you can find our video on YouTube, we waited like 3.5 hours and like, it was still a solid ride. So I know whatever Universal's doing, it's going to be fine. The first Jurassic World movie was great. The second one was okay. You know, so, but I, you know, whatever they do, they're going to enhance it. I just hope they don't use a lot of screens and stuff. I still hope it's like practical effects for the finale, but sure. Time will tell. So I'm just saying, like, I'm excited about Jurassic World. I'm a little bit more excited about, you know, the other water ride that's coming. So. All right. Well, thank you, John. We're going to move on now to our two segments. So we're doing two segments this episode. We are going to finish our previews of all of the food and wine festivals. So if you were listening 2 weeks ago to our previous show, we talked about all the offerings that were coming to the Boysenberry Festival and the Seven Seas Lagoon Food Festival or Seven Seas Food Festival at SeaWorld in San Diego. And so this week I'm going to give you a little preview of what has already come to the DCA Food and Wine Festival for 2019. And then when I'm done with that, we're going to turn it over to Diane for about 10 minutes. And we're going to start another new segment. So last episode, we started a dining plan segment. I had previously done something like this, call it a different name. That name didn't really work. So I'm just going to call this segment Road Trip. So we're going to have a road trip segment. Diane did a great video already once on her trip to the Lion Country Safari. What was it?
Lion Habitat Ranch.
Lion Habitat Ranch. And if you go to YouTube, she did a great video on that. So I think Diane does a little traveling. She's going to come in and maybe talk about her trips. And so it's just kind of something outside the norm of what we normally talk about, but I think it's still interesting nonetheless. And if you come to our theme parks here, you know, it gives you an idea of somewhere else that you can go, because there's a lot of stuff to do in California. All right, so but first we're going to finish our previews of the food festival. So DCA Food and Wine 2019, previously we had previously we had taken time to discuss all this. So this week we're going to take a look at some of the one of the longer running and most popular theme park food festivals, the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival, from March 1st to April 23rd. You too can discover the beauty and celebrate the bounty of California with unforgettable cuisine, beverages, and events. There are several new booths this year, including Golden Dreams and Veggie Veggie Fruit Fruit, which if you're a fan of Epcot Center, you know what Veggie Veggie Fruit Fruit means. It was the old kitchen cabaret. And also, I just like saying Veggie Veggie Fruit Fruit. Plus, the Paradise Garden Grill once again has a special menu for the festivals. And I'm going to talk about value in terms of going to the different booths, because we did a little preview of this when it first opened. Couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to go through the food booths really quickly. I'm just going to name the food booths, and I'm going to name what they've got in them. And some of it's really good, and some of that we've had a chance to sample. So the first food booth is Nuts About Cheese. Nuts About Cheese. Okay, so Fiscalini White Cheddar Lager Soup, which is served in a mini boudin sourdough bread bowl. You get a Hammond Vella Jack Cheese pinwheel with smoked pistachios. That actually sounds really good.
Yeah, it does.
And then for dessert, a vegan option is available. They have the Creamy Oikos Greek Yogurt Cheesecake, which actually sounds pretty good. At Uncork, California, you can get a California artisan cheese selection. You can select from either Port Reyes Blue of Fiscalini White Cheddar Handcrafted California Cheese. This is also a vegetarian option. A large selection of California wines and flights are available at Uncork, California. All right, Citrus Grove, you can get the orange chicken and rice, the citrus brined pork roast with tangy barbecue sauce and lemon pepper slaw, Meyer Lemon Blue Almond Macaron, which we had, which was very good. It was one of the best things that we had at the festival. As a matter of fact, it's really pretty. So when we were sitting there taking photos of it, a lot of people were coming up to us and they're like, "Where did you get that?" You know, so it's got this like berry stuff inside of it. It was very, very good. The berry stuff was sweet, but the whole thing was delicious. You can also get a Meyer Lemon Ginger Mule. Or
a
ginger.
I know. I'm paying attention.
her ears just perked up. Or you can get ginger beer. which is I'm alcoholic. And why would you do that? You can get the California Craft Brews booth. You can get the pepperoni pizza egg rolls with marinara and pesto sauce, plus a large selection of California beers and flights. And let me tell you something about the pepperoni pizza egg rolls. You get
a pizza roll?
It's like a calzone?
No, it's wrapped up in... So, first of all, if you take your index finger and your thumb, and you spread it about 3 inches apart.
Chris, this is a family show.
Thank you. If you do that, so they're about that big, and then they're about, if you, you know, make the okay sign, they're about that big. They're tiny, and there's two of them.
How do they get pepperoni in there?
They wrap it up. Now, they're delicious. They're also $7. And so one of the
They should have called it like a pepperoni cigar.
Not even like, it's like a pepperoni cigarillo. It's like, it's, those of you that are
I hate how many places try to do Chinese fusion with egg rolls because like Acapulco restaurants had, at least I haven't been there in forever, a Mexican egg roll. And it's just like, don't you mean a flauta?
Yeah, no, but I mean, this is actually like wrapped up in like egg roll wrappings, and it was good. And the pesto sauce was good. The pesto sauce was a lot of it.
I was kind of wondering how the pesto sauce would taste with the marinara.
Mm-hmm. And it was delicious. It was really good. It was also $7 for two tiny, you know what, egg rolls. So, you know, we're gonna do. Karen and I are gonna go there in a couple of weeks. We'll do a vlog, and you guys can see exactly what we're talking about. But over at the Berry Patch, you can get the strawberry and coconut rice frushi, which we were not a big fan of 2 years ago. But a lot of people seem to like it. So you can get it with sweet oikos yogurt Greek wasabi sauce. That sounds interesting.
Greek wasabi sauce?
Yeah, oikos yogurt, which is Greek yogurt, but it's a yogurt wasabi sauce. Mm.
So more fusion.
Yeah. Fresh California berry pie, blue diamond almond milk, breeze almond milk.
Oh, I wonder if they're getting some sort of sponsorship there.
I think they are. Sounds I think it's sponsored by Almond Breeze, the whole thing. Strawberry float. This sounds delicious. Strawberry float with vanilla ice cream, whipped cream, and crunchy cereal garnish.
Nice.
Now, it's non-alcoholic, but I mean,
anything could be alcoholic.
Anything's possible. So now here we get into some of my favorite ones. There's the Peppers Caliente booth. Get it?
California.
The pun. I didn't even
say it like that.
Yeah. Cali. I'll show myself out. You can get the Verlasso Sustainable Salmon Peruvian Poke with cucumber lime salad and aji verde salsa, which actually sounds delicious. Okay. Sounds really fresh and, like, you know, good.
Aji verde.
It's A-J-I. Aji? Aji verde?
I was just wondering, is this like more fusion?
Yeah. So there's a ghost pepper mac and cheese with chili cheese corn chip dust, which I will not be having. But I'd like to keep my wife alive. She's allergic to corn, everything. Not like dying allergic, but enough to get mad at me. And then a jalapeno lime margarita.
Hello. I love jalapeno margaritas.
All right. So veggie fruit, which is a play on the Old Kitchen Cabaret at Epcot. You get grilled asparagus, chicken Caesar salad. You get the cauliflower ceviche with chili, corn crumble, and tortilla strips. A duo of frozen fruit bars, lime and strawberry, which you can get from the from a lot of vendors and stuff. Cool lime michelada, which I know you guys are a fan of, with frozen lime ice.
Nice.
Every time Brandy and John and I go to California Adventure, our first stop is the Michelada place in the Hollywood Studios.
And people actually stop us to ask us where we got it from, like several people in one trip. So Disney really needs to advertise it more.
Those are super popular.
Or pay us. Yeah. Or give us free ones.
And I'm okay with that. Probably not after what I said about the pop-up event, though. All right. There's Avocado Time, which is a petite impossible burger, which I really want to try. Like, I've been dying to try the impossible burger, but not a whole one. So if I can try a tiny one and then have a real burger, that'd be great. with guac and pepper jack cheese. You can get a spicy roasted chicken on pita with avocado hummus and garlic sauce, kombucha mojito cocktail with fresh mint, and an organic pineapple passion fruit kombucha, which is not alcoholic. So, our iHeart artichokes. You can get fried artichokes with blue diamond almond breeze lemon aioli, artichoke toast with a California olive tapenade. I will not be having that. Don't like olives. Blue diamond almond cake. You and my wife can have all of the olives because blue diamond almond cake with butter. So there's clearly some sort of sponsorship going on here. With butter streusel, apricot compote, and brown sugar cream fraiche. Here's my favorite booth. Cluck-a-doodle moo. Harris Ranch grilled beef tenderloin cider with chimichurri sauce. We tried this last year. It was very good. Again, it was also like $8. The salt and vinegar parmesan chicken wings, which we tried again last year. They were okay. Watermelon lemonade with watermelon garnish. Non-alcoholic. All right, just a couple more. Garlic kissed, which is a black garlic soy braised pork belly banh mi, creamy mac and cheese with garlic bread crumble, chocolate crunch cake, and the Bloody Mary with garlic stuffed olive. Y'all can have all of my olives. Off the cob, you get shrimp boil tacos and andouille sausage with fresh corn, sweet corn nuggets with bacon lardons, citrus radler lager. I think they're just making up words now. Lager with grapefruit and blood orange juices. TW Pitchers Brewing from San Francisco, and a peach tea with peach garnish. Over at Golden Dreams, you can get the deconstructed teriyaki musubi with pineapple relish. If it's anything like the musubi that they had over in Adventureland at one point, I am out. Is not good. The Anaheim Chili Relleno Bites with salsa verde. You can get a chocolate peanut caramel parfait, which sounds really good. And you can get the Yippee! Mickey's Cotton Candy Soda, non-alcoholic, which consists of Sprite, cotton candy, premium syrup, half-rim buttercream, with pineapple, cotton candy garnish, and a blood sugar elevation nap for the rest of the day.
That sounds like vomiting.
That sounds good.
That's like a last-minute thing you get at the end of the day.
Yeah, you get that.
And then you share it with a bunch of people because you all taste it and you're like, ooh, no, this is too much. Here you go.
So at LA Style, you can get the Asian style beef barbacoa taco with pickled ginger, the BLT chicharron duro with Grinch crema. That actually sounds really good. I actually love chicharron. And you can get a tiki cocktail, which consists of aged rum, farnalum, bitters, lime, and grapefruit juices. Now, the last one in here is a Paradise Garden Grill. Let me say this about the Paradise Garden Grill. It is at the back end of the California Adventure area, so it's at the very end of the booth trail. They also have a festival beer garden, which has a variety of selections, a variety of beers, ciders, and flights, and it's always very, very popular. But you go past that and you go to the Paradise Garden Grill, which used to be like the McDonald's burger stand. So now they have different offerings. It's a Mediterranean restaurant sometimes. This is, if you're going to buy the tasting cards, and the tasting cards for annual pass holders are $45. And if you're going to buy the tasting cards, this is the place to get your best deal. This is the best place to get your best money out of your tasting card, because they have many versions of like really good stuff, and some of them are almost full size versions. So let me go.
What are the lines like?
When we went in the evening for the preview, so it was not bad. And I will say this. Let me get through this, and I'll go back to that. So they have beer battered cod with steak fries and spiced remoulade. They have an impossible no meat meatball sub with marinara sauce, which actually I kind of want to try. They have a beer-braised pork tacos with pickled apple slaw, black beans, and queso, buffalo-sized roasted turkey leg with celery slaw and crumbled blue cheese, a large soft pretzel with beer cheese dipping sauce, which we purchased and is the best pretzel you ever have in your life, and a black forest parfait, layers of chocolate cake, vanilla chantilly, chocolate mousse, and cherries. So when we went, the lines were not bad. It was in the evening. You could tell which ones were more popular, but I will say this. If you want to go to the DCF Food and Wine Festival, and this is the advice I've been giving people for years, go early. because a lot of times they still have not figured out the formula for keeping food stocked or making enough for the day. What happens a lot of times, if there is something on the menu that sounds really good, you go up to the booth and they'll tell you either they don't have it in stock or they're out for the day. And we still see that quite a bit. There wasn't anything that we wanted yet, but we were seeing people order stuff where their cast members were apologizing because they just had run out. Now, if it's super busy, I can understand, but it wasn't all that busy when we were there. We went opening weekend. So, you know, you would imagine that after a few years of having done this, they would get that down. But, you know, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just, my biggest issue with all these food festivals is that the lines are so long that it is no longer like food festivals are supposed to be a nice leisurely thing where you're strolling around, getting good food, socializing. And so a lot of these food festivals at the parks have become where you go from one line to the next line, to the next line, to the next line. And because the lines are so long, you actually either get too tired before you finish all the tastings or you get full. And if they did something about this, if they could figure out a way around this, people would be buying more tasting cards.
Yeah. And I again, like when we go, because we're annual pass holders, obviously. So when we go and Karen and I go to do the vlogs and stuff, number one, we're taking longer than everybody else. We make this because we're taking pictures and video and stuff, but we make this into like, this is what we're going to do for today. We don't go with any, you know, assumptions that we're going to be doing anything else, which doesn't vibe, you know, which probably doesn't, you know, sit with most, the way most people want to go to theme parks. You know, you want to go do rides, you want to go do this and that. So I agree with you. Like when we went for the Chinese New Year festival, the lines were huge and you were waiting these long lines just to order your food. Now, once you ordered your food and got your, you know, to go up to pick up your food, those lines were short. What it is that they're taking the lines are way long for to order the stuff. And I agree. Yeah. It takes you quite a bit. And there's a lot of waiting involved. You go from one line and you eat your food and there's not enough tables. You're eating your food on a trash can, you know? So
yeah, that's another thing is when they're serving you this small plate of some like messy food and there's nowhere to sit nearby any of these booths
or even stand, like there's, you know,
yeah.
Like,
and so you're walking around trying to eat this piping hot food that's dripping all over you. And,
I will give Disney credit. Over the last couple of years of doing this, they really have added more tables. When we got our pretzel, they have like a seating section in the beer garden. It's really beautiful. I wish they would keep it that way all year round. It had like these string lights, and so, you know, you just can sit down and relax. Now, I can't imagine if it was a really busy day that, you know, you can find anywhere easy to sit. So sometimes you end up sharing a table, or like I said, you just kind of walk over to the nearest trash can. Now, we're used to that because we go to the Food Wine Festival at Epcot every year, and that's just kind of how it is. Like, that's, everybody's used to that, but I think here people aren't quite used to the Food and Wine Festivals yet in terms of like guests. So it's, you know, it's kind of a shock. You're like, well, there's no place to eat. So, and then also you can go, so for the DCA Food and Wine Festival, you can also go to the patio of the Wine Country Trattoria, and they have, you can sit in that open area. They have, so again, they're trying to make areas, and usually have like entertainment for the Festival of the Holidays. They had mostly kosher band, so you know they're trying to sort it out. But the food situation is what they have not yet been able to get a handle on. So if something that we talked about here sounds good, you go to the Food Wine Festival, but go early so that you can make sure to get all of the things that you want.
And shout out to Knott's Berry Farm for never having run out of food.
Well, I think a lot of it, they're like, the Knott's Berry Farm is different because a lot of it, they're, well, even the, and the one, the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot is different because a lot of it they're making there, whereas DCA Food and Wine Festival, they're making it somewhere else and bringing it in, like in warmers, like in the big rolling rack warmers. So they're just prepping it there and finishing it. They're not actually making it there. I think a lot of times at Knott's Berry Farm, like they've got the big grills open.
Yeah,
and
they're making it fresh, like constantly. So yeah, the lines are long and the stations are far apart. But I, like, how many years have we been going since it first opened? I think, what, has it been open 3 or 4 years? And not once have they ever been out of food when we went.
Yeah, true. So go for
that. To differ.
Oh.
On them being out of food?
Yes, when we went this last Thanksgiving for their Thanksgiving buffet.
Oh, no, I was talking about their food festival, though, but...
Oh, no.
Wait, so how do you run out of food at a buffet?
Yeah, I was just going to say, but that is interesting. That was kind of my point,
too.
Were they like...
There were certain selections that were out when we finally got seated.
Completely out?
Yeah.
Wow. That sucks.
It was sucky.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Oh, I have a really long story. I wrote a nice letter to them and everything. Oh, wow. Never heard anything, but, you know.
Oh,
That's really... I've done their... I mean, we always do their buffet.
Yes.
And I've done... We've done... John and I have done their... Sunday brunch for our anniversary after a run, which was so perfect. Like, seriously, you know, we did like a 10K and then went to Knott's for the buffet, Sunday buffet. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
But anyway, yeah, they've never run out of food there, and it was very well run. As long as you have your reservations, you get in, get your seat, and go get your food.
Yeah, I can't figure out when their Sunday brunch is anymore. It used to be every week, and now it's like every seventh Sunday when the moon is full.
Yeah, they changed it to be like every first Sunday of the month, and then that changed, and so now you just got to watch for them to announce it's back.
That's weird.
Snoopy's getting older, man. He can't do this every Sunday brunch thing. He's like,
he's sharing minion memes.
That's a lot of heavy sauces and carbs.
And we're back to that.
So, oh Jesus. So minion memes is going to be the title of this episode. All right. So, you know, I love the DCA Food Wine Festival. I know a couple of friends that are responsible for putting this thing on every year. And every year I'm like, you guys, they got to get a handle on the food situation. The food's great. I have noticed, and the same thing with the Epcot Food Wine Festival, so the prices just creep up every year. The height of ridiculousness, I think, this year was those two, like, tiny pizza egg rolls were $7. Like, the steak sliders, like, $8.50. So, you know, there was a time where you could go and spend $20 and you would get full. And, you know, now the quality hasn't dropped for the most part, but just every year the prices just go up and the portions aren't getting any larger. So, all right. Well, thank you guys for sitting through that and for contributing to that. Go out and do a food festival, whether it's Seven Seas Lagoon or Boysenberry Festival, DCA Food and Wine Festival. There's so much good food going on right now in theme parks, and we're really in like a renaissance for a theme park food, and it's so much different than it was when I was a kid and when a lot of us were younger and stuff. So, all right. Final segment of the show is a new segment, new old segment. So we're going to call this segment Road Trip. And in this, so this segment's going to consist mostly of people, of stories, and we're going to bring in friends, and Diane's our kind of our roving reporter. We're going to go outside the parks. We're going to talk about what else there is to do in Southern California. So, you know, you get your 4-day park hopper, you go do Knott's, you're here for, you know, 8 days or so, and you're like, okay, now I've done all the parks, what do I go do now? So that's what this...
Especially after you're probably shocked by how cold our beaches are.
Right, yeah. Because even if it's 80 degrees, you know, inland, it's...
Our water's 45.
Yeah, water's 45. And even the, like, it's cold and cloudy at the beach a lot of times here too, you know, we get that marine layer. So this is just going to be able to give you alternatives. Like I said, you're here for 7-8 days, you've done all the parks, you've done all the crowds, you want to do something different. And this week we're going to talk to Diane, who recently went to a town called Solvang, California. And Solvang is very famous for a variety of reasons, but I'm going to turn it over to Diane, and we're going to take a few minutes to talk about your trip. Diane, take us on a road trip.
Well, recently I took a road trip with two of my best girlfriends for one of their birthdays. So hello, Debbie and Sarah, if you're listening.
Which birthday?
And we took a nice trip up the 101, about 3 hours north of Disneyland, and to a city called Solvang, California, which is dubbed the Danish capital of California, I think. Or actually, it's Danish capital of the world, even.
I mean, except for...
Except for...
I was just
yeah, except
say.
For... So except, it must be California.
Except for the Netherlands.
Yeah, except for that. I don't know. I got the t-shirt. I forget what it says.
I hope it does say that, because that is actually pretty awesome. That's like so arrogant.
Right? It is very cool. We had lovely weather the whole time, which was nice.
Because it's Southern California.
Exactly. And we did a lot of fun side things. You would think this little tiny city that literally is maybe 2 miles square, if that. It's just a little blip on the radar, but it is so cool. Everything's within walking distance. We walked from our hotel up and down the streets. There is a bakery every 500 feet.
Hmm.
There's
I bet it smells delicious.
It does. It actually does smell really good. And there's lots of shops. There's lots of toy stores. There's a shop that still sells cuckoo clocks. So that was kind of neat to go into. There's a
holistic, that was really loud.
Holistic medicine place. And I had a fun adventure in there. A little side note. We went in there and I was looking at things, rocks and geodes and all that stuff. And I saw a little essential oils element type thing on the wall. And it said there were testers. So the one that I picked up, the cap was not screwed on. And cinnamon oil went everywhere. Thank God it wasn't like something like sandalwood or what is the other one? That's just nasty.
Oh, patchouli.
That's the one. So I walked around smelling like a big red factory all day. My best friends didn't let me up. And we went to eat at the Solvang restaurant. And our waitress goes, do you guys smell cinnamon? And I said, yeah, it's me. So she referred to me as the cinnamon girl all day. That was fun. But no, there's great things to do in the city itself. Like I said, walking tours. We also did wine tasting, which was very reasonably priced. We got 6 glasses of wine, and then they gave us a couple, not, I shouldn't say full glasses, but 6 tasters of wine. Plus they gave us a couple bumps, a couple things for $12.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was pretty good.
That's what I was going to ask the cost, because Knott's does the, at their wine tasting, it's $30 for 6 glasses, but they're full glasses.
Oh, that's nice too. But this was a nice little taster flight. This was, and it's really independently owned mom and pop type situations. Mm-hmm. I believe the one we purchased from was called Royal Oaks Winery. And there's fun.
Solvang is located in Ventura County. So, it's a really beautiful part of Southern California, and it's still Southern California. It's located in what's known as the Santa Ynez Valley. And in this particular part of California, this is where you started getting into like wine country.
Yes.
Like Solvang's kind of like the gateway into California wine country. So yeah, I just wanted to say like, I have no doubt that they have a lot. I've been to Solvang once as an adult, and then it's one of those places where my parents are like, oh, you've been there. Like, oh, when did we go? Like, oh, well, you were in a stroller in 3. So I guess, you know.
It is like the first family vacation every family takes when they have a kid.
I went once with my mom.
You see?
So some other things you can do in Solvang. You can visit the statue of Hans Christian Andersen and his Little Mermaid replica from Finland? From where the original is. You can visit there's a rural church, a round tower, restaurants, pastry shops, a replica of a 19th century Danish streetcar. The horse-drawn Honen, also known as the Hen, will take visitors on sightseeing tours around downtown Solvang.
Which we did.
partly as a result of the 2004 film Sideways. Did anybody see that movie? The wine? Sideways is a movie about taking a road trip and drinking wine.
It created so many pretentious people.
Yes. I think
we just became more aware of them.
they also have their Danish Days Festival. They have a festival theater, and the Danish Crown Prince and Princess visited there in 1939. So it is kind of a the tourist destination. It's a very kind of relaxing, very beautiful destination. So go ahead. I just wanted to throw in some of the more things
absolutely.
That you can
and
do
honestly,
there.
We did about 85% of all of that.
Oh, wow.
We saw the statues. We walked the town. We saw the shops. We did the horse-drawn trolley. When we arrived, it was a Saturday evening, and they were just wrapping up the day of their – actually, they were having their food and wine festival that weekend. And we didn't partake in it only because we had other plans, and we didn't get there till Saturday.
I had something. Denmark. That's the word I was looking for.
There you go.
And I should know that because I'm a theater person and one of Shakespeare's...
Something's great, rotten in Denmark.
Yeah, great place takes place in Denmark. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right, continue. So I didn't want to offend our Danish friends.
You mentioned the outdoor amphitheater. It is open for summer stock only due to inclement weather during the other seasons.
But it rains a lot up there.
It does. And supposedly Robin Williams himself tread the boards there, so that's kind of cool.
Mm.
There's... Again, a lot of fun things to do in the city. There's a Hans Christian Andersen Museum, as well as the statues.
And again, I think like this is the reason I wanted to do this, and the reason because you mentioned it to me, you know, I can come and talk about my trip to Solvang is, I think sometimes people, even myself, who I love theme parks, once you've done the theme park bit, you've dealt with the crowds, this is something I think that feels very different than that. Like, this is just a more, I don't say a more adult, but it's a more sedate way to enjoy your vacation. It's strolling, it's restaurants, it's shops, it's, you know, I've been there. I've been to the Danish bakeries. You know, we were doing a road trip to somewhere else, and we said, let's go and stop in Solvang. You know, my wife had never been to Solvang, and so this is just something else to do that's different. So just give us a little wrap up of what your experience was and what you recommend.
Definitely. Just outside the city itself, there's fun things. There's the Quicksilver Ranch, which is a ranch for miniature horses. That was neat. We visited
That's adorable.
It is currently for sale. So if you have just over $3 million, it can be yours.
Hmm. Do the horses come with it?
I didn't ask. There's also
for that price, they better.
Ostrich Land USA, where you can go feed ostriches and emus.
That is less adorable.
It was fun. It was actually really fun. We also drove a little bit farther northeast to Los Olivos, which is where the Neverland Ranch is, if you want to go take a picture of just the entryway to Neverland Ranch. There are lavender fields.
Did you do that?
We did do that,
yes. Okay, cool.
There is also the lavender fields, which bloom in June and July. We were a little early. So that is lush and beautiful. And they have tables where you can just bring a picnic and sit. The gentleman there, his name is Sean. He offered his place for us to come back, picnic there, drink wine, enjoy the
fields.
That's
what I was going to say, is that is the place to be drinking wine. They should have a wine tasting festival there.
Right.
Except then it's going to happen what's happening in Carlsbad right now.
Yeah, right. Well, that was another thing. There's part of the poppies. We're all on the hillside. So we took pictures of all the poppies on the mountainside. So that was really pretty. What else did we do? Gosh, there's also, for those that are a little bit of a gambling, there's the Chumash Indian Reservation. We did spend an evening there for $60. We got 4 hours of bingo, and that was a blast.
Oh, I saw that on your Facebook.
How much?
$60 only because, and I'll tell you why, normally it's $29. And that's if you do the paper with the daubers. If you get the electronic machine where all you have to do is watch the screen and it even tells you when to yell bingo, that's a bump up to like $59. So it's worth it.
I did bingo on a cruise and wasn't sure how I was going to feel. I mean, I used to feel like bingo like with my grandma, like sitting at the card table, but like I wasn't sure how I was going. Man, that gets competitive.
These people, I tell you. You hear them, they've got the machines going and they're stamping left and right 30 cards at a time. And I'm going, I don't think I can handle that.
Bingo, like in those kind of settings. Like I did it on a cruise ship. I think I said that already. I did it on a cruise ship, but like other bingo that's not on a cruise ship, man, that's like you get fearful for your life sometimes. These ladies take this serious. No, not ladies, ladies, but people playing this.
Everybody.
Yeah.
It's so much fun though.
Take it seriously.
And one of my friends, congratulations, Sarah, won $125.
Sweet.
So that was nice. There really is a lot of fun things to do in that area. And if you do go, please, I advise you, take the 101 freeway. It's along the coast the entire way. It's gorgeous. And just before you hit Solvang is a little city called Buellton, where you need to stop for Pea Soup Anderson's famous soup. It is delish, and it's only 3 miles west of Solvang.
It's kind of a Southern California institution. Where,
absolutely.
You know, when you making that drive to Northern California, if you're taking the 101, absolutely, you always stop at Pea Soup Anderson's. And
if you take the 5, there's one in Santa Anella.
Right.
So I just want to say, I was just talking to John, I think it was last weekend, about how before we had GPS in our cars or on our phones in Southern California, you could not talk about going anywhere without a debate opening up about, do you take the 101? Do you take the 110? Do you take the 5? Do you take the 405? And at what point do you switch these freeways? And
it's 101 up for the view and 5 back for the distance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's a trip. If you're planning a trip to Southern California, you plan to venture out. Absolutely. The 5 is a great way to get there fast. The 101 is a great place to see. If you want to see some of those iconic landscapes and, you know, the shots from movies that you've seen and you're a first time visitor out here and you want to see like the California that you see in movies, take the 101 because it goes along the coast and I absolutely recommend that if you want to see like that California because it's beautiful.
Your GPS, at least ours did, and I'm sure it does for most people, mentioned that we exit the 101 and take Highway 154. We did that going in, and it's very steep and windy through the mountains.
It's terrifying, is what it is.
No, that we learned this on the trolley ride. The gentleman said, "Don't take it. after we'd already taken it. He says it's called Death Highway for a reason.
Ooh.
So
I had to drive, we had to drive it in the fog.
Oh, no.
And
no.
We had to drive it at night in the fog.
We did it during the daytime.
Is it worse than driving up to Big Bear?
You know, it's comparable. Yes. It's about the same, but it's really, really windy.
That kind
and
of
I know
driving,
Big Bear is too. Was it the 138?
The
138. Yeah, I was going to say, I think we take the 138 when we go up there.
But, so it is comparable, yes. But I would definitely stick on the 101 because it drops you off right at Anderson's Pizza and
then
just go through Miles.
We did that, and that kind of mountain driving doesn't make me nervous normally. Like, that was terrifying.
Like, it is. That is actually really good advice for anyone who's visiting here, renting a car to drive. Because
absolutely.
If you've
stay
only
on the
driven through, say, like the flatlands of America, that is going to be terrifying and difficult.
Yeah, I can't advise how to do it coming from Northern California south. I would anticipate it would be the same, but definitely from Southern California up, take the 101 up and the 5 back.
All right. Well, thank you, Diane, for that. That's going to do it for this episode. You can connect with Vacation Land online by visiting our website, vacationlandpodcast.com, Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, our Instagram at VLpodcast, and our email, of course, if you always want to reach out to us, vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com. As always, if you're listening to us on iTunes or watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. And don't forget, I'll say it again, if you want a chance to win our book giveaway, Skipper Stories and More Skipper Stories, don't forget to go on our Instagram page at VL Podcast, like our post where we talk about the giveaway, screenshot, repost with at VL Podcast. I would like to thank everyone for joining us on this episode. Thank you, Brandis. Thank you, John. Thank you, Diane. And last but not least, another special thank you to Erin Owens for always being a great friend and a great friend of the show. Again, she's just moving. She's not dead. You'll always have a seat here in the studio, and we wish you well in all of your new endeavors. We hope you enjoyed the show. We hope you enjoyed your stay here in Vacation. See you in 2 weeks.